Friends, I'm turning this evening to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and to verse 14. Acts, chapter 1, and to verse 14. This all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. And my subject for this evening is the power of corporate prayer. The power of corporate prayer. Friends, it is a privilege that we can come before God to communicate with God. And this is the means that God has appointed for us to communicate with Him through prayer. And God's people have always been the praying people, wherever, united in spirit and love, for we are one body, one people, one faith, one gospel, one Lord, and one God, Father of all of us. And it is, as I've said, a privilege that we who were once far away from God, who were sinners, have the privilege of coming before God to pour our hearts unto Him. And we know that when we have poured our hearts unto the Lord, we lift Him in His hands. So tonight we are going to see the power, the importance of praying together, as the early churches have done. Here, as we have read, the disciples of Christ, they were waiting for the promise that the Savior has promised them when He was taken away. The promise that He was going to send from the Father. And as He said in verse 6, they were all together with one accord, which is with one mind, because Christ had left them. They were now a confused people. How are they going to go on? But they remember that Christ had told them that they should wait until He sent them the Comforter. And we know the Comforter is Jesus Christ. Many, many, many denominations have turned this to be something else. The Muslims think the Comforter is Muhammad. The Latter-day Saints think the Comforter is that dear man. I don't know, maybe something. Many people think the Comforter, they think it is not the Holy Spirit. But here we are going to see that it means the Holy Spirit. He said they were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the other women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then His brothers. So this is a picture of the redeemed of Christ obeying His instructions and following His prayerful example. Christ was, He was full of prayers. Christ always resorted to prayer in all that He was doing. Even Him, who was Christ, who was God Himself, was always praying. For in every situation, the solution is prayer. And Christ showed that example. So there's no better example of God's own people that He has bought, contributing, continuing in devoted prayer. There's no example than what we are reading in the book of Acts. And they were persevering in prayer and supplication. When I say prayer and supplication, they are the same thing. But when you say prayer, we refer to the beginning where we praise and thank God for all what He has done for us. Then when we come to our supplication, the petition, this is what we call the supplication. So this is a picture of the little flock of God in the days that was leading to the Pentecost, as had been promised. So we notice that on that day, very important, it was on that day that the church was born, that the Christian church was born. It was on that day. Secondly, it was the day that the Spirit was given, the Spirit that Christ promised them. It was on that day that the Spirit was given. And the third thing we see, that it was the day that the dispensation of Israel, like the law, was placed on hold. And then the dispensation of the grace of God began. That was when the law and the prophets ended. And then grace also began. So it was a very important time and day. And like I said, they had been separated in the physical realm from the shepherd. Now Christ had left them. They had them wherever they were going. Christ had performed so many miracles and everything. Now He was gone. And he had left them alone without any shepherd. And they were waiting together in obedience for the promise that Christ has given them, the Comforter. And the Comforter, he was to come in the person of the Spirit of Holiness. God, Christ said, he is with you, and he will be with you. So he was talking about the Holy Spirit. All those people who claim to be the Comforter, where are they? They are all dead. So it can't be them. But the Holy Spirit dwells in us till eternity. Now, this was the comforting word that God told them, that even though he was leaving them, they had the Comforter to be with them. And it has followed in every spiritual church. It has been the common practice to hold meetings, you know, for corporate prayer. We call it the prayer meeting. It has been going on from the early churches even up to our day. And now, as I have just explained, we are going to see the power of this prayer meeting. And we'll go through a few history of this meeting, how it was done and what it has, people have achieved in the past. So we are going to go through the apostolic ministry of meeting for prayer, of this prayer meeting. First, the prayer meeting was to encourage a discouraged people. The people were discouraged. Christ had left them. And in any church, there will be times of discouragement. And in even any individual's life, there will be times of discouragement. And the prayer meeting was to encourage and discourage people. So the first meeting which we find in our Lord's ascension into heaven is found in the text, as we just read. And he said, they were all together with one accord. To do what? When they say one accord, is that they had all agreed on what they were coming to pray for. That is why when we come together to pray, one person stands and prays. Even if you are there and you are not praying, you agree. We are with one accord. That should be the topic of prayer. It is not like everybody is praying at the same time. That's not the meaning of with one accord. One accord is agreeing together that we are going to pray for this. But each individual takes a part of the topic and pray for. But these people, can you imagine their sorrow when Christ had left them, separated from them, and they did not know what to do again? And they know there were so many trials that would come their way, and then their strong man, Jesus Christ, who was with them, had been taken away, and now they were left themselves alone. But now they felt that nothing can make them happy, nothing to encourage them, nothing to strengthen them to bear their daily afflictions than to draw to God in common prayer. That's what they believed. And that is what every church must know, that in every situation that a church or an individual may go through, the solution is to come to the Lord in prayer. And let every church learn the value of these prayer meetings and the power, especially in our darkest hour when we have nowhere to turn to. This is where we have to come. When we are confronted with many challenges, as we live in this evil world, there will be challenges. And whenever it comes, the remedy for this and any the other evil that will come is prayer. It's contained in this short term. Let us pray in every situation. Let us pray. That is what our Lord left with us. So when we are personally afflicted and we are troubled in life after meeting God in our own private prayer, still let us come and meet together as a people that have been called by God. Later on, I will explain why this is important. When even you have a personal problem and you have prayed over it in your home, why is it better to come and then share it with your other people, your other believers, to pray over it? Why is it like that? It may be that even some believers that have gone through the same experience as you are going through. But when you come together and you see them pouring their hearts unto God and making requests as you would have made, it encourages you and you right know that you are not the only person in that situation. And it's encouragement and it comforts you as well. When you meet, when you see other people also praying for that same that situation. So one of the first uses of the prayer meeting then is to encourage people, as I've just explained. The second thing we learn is also the prayer meeting is the appointed place to receive power. The power to the church is received through prayer meeting. As I've said it before, the last time we had our prayer meeting, when people went to the tabernacle and they asked Spurgeon what was the secret of his church that was growing, he took them to a place where men and women were praying, and he pointed to them, this is the power, this is the source of our power. So this is where we receive God's power as a church, at the prayer meeting. And that is what we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. We can't turn there, but we perceive that the prayer meeting is a place for the reception of the divine power. He said they were all with one accord, lifting up their prayers, and as they waited there, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, this is the power that Christ was talking about. That when the Holy Spirit comes, they will have power. And then they will be bold to proclaim His word. So you see that the prayer meeting, it is where God's power is received. And this is a typical example. And this is that makes a big difference in them. Common fishermen, they became extraordinary messengers of the gospel, as we were learning in the morning. They became messengers of heaven, people who the world did not regard, but because of the power that was given them. Illiterate men, they spoke with languages that they have never learned. When you say they spoke in tongues, that is the meaning. Languages that were existing, but they had never learned, and yet they had the power to speak that language. And they were preaching, talking about the wonderful things about Christ. And they could tell people in their own languages. And then they began to reveal mysteries, which had not been revealed even to philosophers of their time. This tells you the power that came into them, and they were able to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I already said, these people were lifted, you know, out of the level of ordinary, being ordinary human beings, to God-inspired and God-filled power to go and witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of the power that came to dwell in them. And this happened at a prayer meeting. When they were praying, as we just read, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, which sat upon each of them. The power was received whilst they were praying together. So we see that the great need of the church at all times is the power of the Holy Spirit. Last time that we were learning about the spiritual church, we saw how the Holy Spirit helped the church to grow, both in numbers and also in the Spirit. So every church needs the power of the Holy Spirit, but it is sent to us through prayer meetings. When we believe in the Spirit, we have the power to talk about mysteries that were not even revealed to philosophers, people who think they know the world. We are given the power to know the mysteries of God. And we know that this Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's God Himself, the third person of the Trinity. Now, we know that in our days, the power of working miracles is not given to us. Yet, we have the spiritual power for boldness to preach and win souls. I don't think there's any greater miracle than preaching to a sinner to become saint. So we don't have that kind of power that people are talking about now to perform miracles. We have the power to be bold and to have the wisdom and knowledge to preach the word of God. And if we want this to happen in our lives, the best place to get this is at the prayer meeting. This is the place to meet with the Holy Spirit, and this is the way to get His high, to get His high and mighty power. So if we will have the Holy Spirit, we must meet in greater numbers. We must pray together as a people, and then we must watch for God's blessing. And it will happen because God has promised. Somewhere He said, where two or three have met in my name, there I am with them. So we see that the prayer meeting has become the appointed place for the reception of God's power. That is where God sends His power. The third thing we see, that the prayer meeting is the resource of the persecuted church. When a church is persecuted, the resource of that church is at a prayer meeting. And we'll find this in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And we see how the prayer meeting became the resource of a church which was being persecuted. Peter and John had been locked up in prison. I hope you all know that story. The scribes and the Pharisees had persecuted the disciples of Christ. And the disciples resorted to prayer. When they were being persecuted, the thing they thought of was that we should meet together and pray. And they said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. See, all the believers were with one heart and mind. And they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke boldly. See, they were being persecuted. The scribes and the Pharisees, what did they do? They met together and prayed. And the power that was given to them, they became bold to preach the word of God. Let's not forget that Christ has said that they will be persecuted. His church will be persecuted because He was persecuted. So we must expect it. It might not be the form of what we are seeing in Muslim countries and maybe other countries where Christians can come out and preach. But it comes in different forms. We have the intellectual persecution. Even as we are seeing now, when the word of God is being twisted and all forms of persecution, all these things will be there. Christ gave us all that warning. And like I said, sometimes it's even good for the church to be persecuted, because we see that in all these areas where they were being persecuted, the word of God went forth powerfully. So sometimes it is better for the church to be persecuted. Then we are compelled to come together and pray. Anything that will bring you to the word of God, to the throne of God to pray for, is a blessing. Even if we see it as negative, once it draws you closer to God to come and pray, it is a blessing. So we should not forget about this, that the prayer meeting became the resource of the persecuted church. Christ used that to let the people go out and preach powerfully. Still saying in Acts chapter 12, verse 4 to 5, we saw the prayer meeting becoming the means of individual deliverance when individual people from the church of God are delivered. When we say deliverance, it's not the deliverance that we know, but we are talking about proper deliverance, which we are going to see. And here, you know the story very well. Peter was in prison. And Herod promised himself the pleasure of putting him to death. Herod has promised that he will put him to death. But the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. You see how he was being guarded. He was bound with two chains. And guards, sentries of guards, were at the entrance. But what did the church do? They were earnestly praying to God for him. They were praying to God for Peter, who was in this prison. And what happened? The walls of the prison were very thick, but prayer was made without ceasing. the soldiers who were very, very, very watchful. You see, there were 16 of them, according to the story, four pass of four soldiers each that were appointed to guide Peter. Yet when the prayer was made without ceasing by the church, we learned that all the walls were broken down. An angel went to where Peter was and called him to come out. And as Peter was going, the doors were opening by themselves. See the power of God. And the angel told him to go and proclaim the word of God. And when he got to the house where his people were praying, his people had gathered, and they were all surprised to see Peter. And they thought they must have even seen a ghost. That's because they thought there was no way Peter, even though they believed in their prayers, they also knew as human beings that it was difficult for Peter to come out of that state because of what I've just described, how he was being guided. And yet the angel got him out, and he came out to preach the word of God boldly. So the prayer meeting also now became a place where individual person was delivered from prison because they prayed together with him. And many lives have been spared to answer to on a united prayer, a corporate prayer. Many of them in the scripture, we can't go over all of them today, but there are so many people who have been spared in answer to prayer meeting. Many people who were spared burden, people who obtained gracious liberty through the prayers of the brothers and sisters. So prayer meeting is a powerful tool that God has given us. Now, another thing we learn from prayer meeting is that it's a means of suggesting missionary operations, how to go out and bring out people, the unsaved people. In the same Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4, we find another meeting suggesting missionary operations. Here, the servants of God were meeting together, fasting and in prayer, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. See how sometimes, I know all of us here, we wish that the whole country will hear this truth that we have here. Look at the people who come here as compared to people who go to other churches. And I'm sure all of us have become a burden as to how the strategy, the measure, how are we going to get this truth to people? It has been a burden on all of us. And I think if we spend time in prayer, the Lord will answer us. We can map out strategies. We will do this, we will do that, we will do that, we will do that. But it is only God who can give the direction, as we just saw how the people were directed by the Holy Spirit to set apart Barnabas for them to go and preach. Why is it like that? If we have a burden, if we care for the church to grow, how about Christ himself? He who owns the church. Do you think we think about the church more than Christ? No. Come to him. Come to him in prayer, and he will show you, he will show us the way. And once we pour our hearts unto him and we wait upon him, I'm sure he will show us the way. Now, the next thing is that the prayer meeting may be the first step in a new work for Christ. It could be the first step in a new work for Christ. Here too, I will remind you of a prayer meeting which perhaps you may have forgotten. I'm sure most of you know, but maybe you have forgotten. That is also in Acts chapter 16. Here, many theologians believe that the first Christian service was held in Europe was a prayer meeting. And why are they saying that? We all know the story of Lydia in Acts chapter 15, from verse 13 to 16. Here we see the very first service was not a preaching of the sermon. Because they said that Paul went to a place where prayer meeting was needed to be made. Paul went to a place where they were having a prayer meeting by the riverside, and that's where he met Lydia and preached to her. And her heart was opened that he received the truth. So you see, it was not even at a sermon preaching. It was at a prayer meeting which Paul attended, and that's when he met Lydia and spoke the word to Lydia, and God opened her heart to understand the truth. Maybe if we have time, we can read it. It's in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. Acts chapter 13, from verses 16, 13 to 16. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give guidance. The God of these people of Israel chose our fathers." So I think I'm reading the wrong place. Don't let us waste time, but I'm sure all of you know that story where Paul met Lydia, and it was a prayer meeting by the riverside, and Paul preached to him, and God opened his heart to understand and accept the truth. So the prayer meeting can be a place which can will be a step into a new work for the Lord. I think I was reading chapter 13, but it should be chapter 16. It should be chapter 16 from 13 to 16. You read it, you see it there. Now, after seeing all these things, let's come to what are the uses of the prayer meeting. What were the uses? At that time, what were the uses of the prayer meeting? Now, it is a useful thing for Christians to pray with each other, even apart from the answer. It is a useful thing for Christians to pray together. Why? Because meetings as Christian families and as Christian churches in the prayer meeting promotes oneness, even as other gatherings. We know that as Christians, we have gatherings that promote oneness. And one of them is a prayer meeting. When we come together with the same one accord and in oneness, it promotes unity. And also, it's very encouraging. Personally, I must confess that sometimes when I come to the prayer meeting, I hear people praying, especially some issues that even I have, which I haven't even prayed for. It encourages me. And I'm sure many of you have also experienced that also. So when we come to meet together in prayer, it is also a great step to oneness and in unity and in love as the people who come together. Now, another thing is that it serves another purpose. You see, God has promised that He will give us extraordinary blessing in connection with meeting together. He said that If two of you on earth, that is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, if two of you on earth agree about anything and you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. If two of you, that's why I'm talking about the accord, the one accord, we all agree. If we agree on something that this is what we want, and we ask God, God said he will give it. So you see that the verse 19, God asks for agreement. And once the saints agree, once we all agree, God has pledged himself that the prayer of the agreeing ones shall be answered. He has said that when we meet together and we agree on the subject, on the topics of prayer, God will answer us because we have all agreed. And this is a promise from God himself. That is why when we come together, like I said, we don't just pray blah, 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 and go. We read the topic, each one picks a topic and pray after, then it follows and it follows. And that is how God wants us to pray. We all agree, and he has promised that when, if because we have agreed, he will hear us. So the prayer meeting is an institution that should be taken very seriously by any church. It should be our source of power, a place where we can trust that when we come, God will answer us. And these are proofs from the scriptures. But that's how God wants us to approach him. Now, to every good thing, there will be hindrances, isn't it? So we know that even to the prayer meeting, there will be hindrances. So we will look at a few of the hindrances as we try to come to conclusion. The first hindrance of prayer meeting is unholiness. Unholiness, it hinders prayer. We know that a man or woman can never walk contrary to God and then expect that their prayers will be heard. It's unheard of. You can never do that. So unholiness will hinder our prayer. Because Christ said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. John 15, verse 10. Christ said that. So if you are not obeying his commands, he will hear your prayer. That's what he means here. And it is a promise. For those who keep God's commandments, they are the ones that he's saying that he will hear their prayer and answer them. So when we come before the Lord, we make sure we are not perfect, but we make sure that we confess our sins unto him. We come trusting that our sins will be washed away for God to hear and answer our prayer. The next hindrance is a hindrance of discord. Discord means disagreement. It always falls prayer. When believers do not agree, remember we just read from Matthew 19 that we have to agree. If we don't agree, our prayers will not be answered. If we are picking on each other, and that doesn't show love to each other. And if we are doing that, our prayers cannot succeed. So discord spoils prayer. Then there's another hindrance of hypocrisy. It always spoils prayer. And we know that in every church, no matter how small they are, hypocrites will creep in. No matter how careful, whatever we are, they will creep in. So we have to pray against all these things. Because if people are hypocrites, whilst we are praying for this, they are praying for that. And that doesn't mean we are in agreement. And it will spoil and hinder our prayer. There's another hindrance, long prayers. That's why I say when we come, we list out the topics and each one takes one or two. Pray over it and then you can come again and again and again. But if you pick one topic and you pray and pray and pray and pray, sometimes you put others to sleep. Long prayers in a prayer meeting will also spoil our prayer. One theologian said, it is dreadful to hear a brother or sister pray us into a good frame of mind and heart, and then, by their long prayer, pray us out of it again. See, when you are praying, you start your prayer, you are praying, you put your brothers in the right frame of mind, then you continue on and on and on and on, and the person loses all order. So long prayers also can be a hindrance to our prayer meeting. There's also another hindrance which Spurgeon calls little thermos in our prayer. Whilst we are praying as if we are preaching within the prayer. And that is not also acceptable. We must pray as a needy people, people who are desperate, coming to the Lord, praising and glorifying Him and bringing our petitions before Him. There's time for sermon and there's a time for prayer. So little sermon can also hinder our prayers. And then there's also a lack of being direct to the prayer. You have to be direct. The same thing as I'm saying. You can't be before the Lord. You must be direct to your prayer. Another theologian, he's called Scotsman, he said, I never go to God unless I have business to do with Him. Unless there is something I want to praise Him for, to confess to Him, or to seek assistance. So before you come to a prayer meeting, you must know what you are coming to pray for. You must put your mind, you must set your mind right. Don't come and then when you are asked to pray, because you don't know to pray for, you won't be the direct, you'll be all over the place. So you must have a direct thing to ask God. Then the another thing is lack of real intensity in our prayer. Sometimes prayer meetings are hindered by lack of real intensity. See, our prayers must be warm and hearty from our hearts. Our prayers is not because we don't sufficiently throw our hearts unto Him. You must pray with your heart that you really are desperate for what you are asking for. That is what it means by lack of intensity. Then, lack of faith. You can't pray and have the answer if you don't have faith. You must have faith because you are coming to the God who has said that there's no situation that is beyond Him. So if you are asking for a blessing, we must come with faith, knowing that the Lord will hear and also answer us. There's another hindrance about inconsistency in our prayers. You see, your inconsistent in your desires can also spoil the prayer meeting, especially if you are asking for God to convert souls, but you will not do anything for those souls. I don't know how you want God to convert them, because He are here in His word. He has said that people will be saved by hearing the word. And how will they hear? They must be told. People must go and tell them. And you won't go and tell them, and yet you come here and ask God to save lost souls. That prayer will not be answered. Because whilst you are praying, you are also making the effort. That if you want souls to be saved, you also have to preach to the souls. Otherwise, your efforts, all your prayers will not do anything to have an answer. So we must bear these things in mind. First, we see the power of corporate prayer, how important it is, and the power in it, and how we should go about it, how we should pray when we come together, and the hindrances that can also affect our prayer. First, let's take this very serious, because as a young church that we are trying to grow, we need the power of God, and the power we can only have it through prayer meeting. So let's take this meeting as serious as we take our Sunday morning services. So what will be our great object of the prayer meeting when we come together to pray? What will be our great object? Now, our first object is that it must be for the glory of God, or otherwise the prayer will be invalid. Our object of the prayer meeting must be for the glory of God. And look at how Christ demonstrated this to us. Look at how He taught us how to pray. He said, you see how much the prayer consisted of God more than our earth. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All these things before He came to give us today our daily bread. But if you start asking for your daily bread before you praise and glorify God, so prayers will not be answered. That's why Christ showed us this. When we come before prayer, when we come before God in prayer, we praise Him and thank him first. And then we can bring our petition. Then we can intercede for other people. That's how to pray. You can never come to God and right from the beginning start to ask for things for yourself. No, you have to praise him first and thank him for what he has done for you in the past. And then you can ask for certain things to be done for you. I hope this will be enough for us in regards to the power of corporate prayer. Let's